This is an interview with the Reverend Tom Jardine, recorded for the Dursingham 2000 History Project on May the 12th, 1997. To begin with, Tom, please may I have your full name?
Yes, my name is Tom Jardine, J-A-R-D-I-N-E.
Thank you. When did you first come to Dursingham?
I first came to Dursingham in April 1991. The plans had just been fulfilled for the Dursingham bypass then, and the bypass had just been opened, so lots of people were discussing the bypass and the habitat of the butterfly and the benefits and merits of the bypass. And some people are a little troubled about whether or not it might detract from trade in the village.
Do any other members of your family live in the village?
No, they don't. Julia came here for 2-3 months and then moved off to university. But Paul had already left home, and he's been serving with the army for 7-8 years now, and at present is in the Falklands.
In the Falklands?
Yes. He's with the Royal Engineers and is based, in fact, in Germany. But as part of that, he's been serving in the Falklands for the last 6 months.
That, of course, there isn't a problem there now. I mean, you're not
worried
about it.
No, that's right. He's thoroughly enjoyed his time there, and been occupied with all the sport and outdoor activities that he can fit into army life in that part of the world.
So, where did you live before you came to Dursingham?
We lived in Crowborough in East Sussex. I was a curate there, ordained in 1987, and served there for 3.5 years before coming here. So this is my first church as vicar.
Ah, right. Now, how have you found this being your first church?
Well, someone once said to me, Tom, when you become a vicar, find a little village church someplace, and then you can make all the mistakes you want. I'm not too sure whether that's very kind to any church, but we've enjoyed our time here, and people have been very, very patient with us in our first living.
Thank you. Now, what was the most important day you've ever spent in the village?
Well, there may be 2 days. One was when we first came to look at the village. We were invited to come and have a look at the church and see if we'd like to come here. That was in the autumn of 1990. And then October 20th, 1990, we came for a weekend. And I remember going home in the dark and the wind and the rain blowing over one of these dikes and wondering what sort of a place it was. But then I think the 18th of April, the following year, may again be of equal importance, because on that day I was instituted as vicar of the village.
Yes, yes. Of course, you're not just vicar of Dursingham.
No, that's right. I'm vicar of Schoenborn and rector of Amber.
So that keeps you pretty busy.
That's right.
You have to go from one parish to
another.
Yeah,
that's right. Like last Sunday, we had 2 morning services here, an afternoon service at Anmer, back here for the evening service. So
yes, so you have to do quite a lot of commuting.
That's right. That's right.
Now, you haven't been here very long compared to a lot of the residents, but could you give us some idea about the biggest changes you've seen so far in the village?
Probably the new houses on the Mountbatten estate. They have been built these last few years, although quite a bit of the Mountbatten estate was there when I came. So, but it does change the shape of a village this size if 200-400 houses go up in addition to what is already there. And maybe Budgeons has been a change. One of the first things I saw as we came into Dursingham one of my first impressions was of the beautiful cottages, the cast stone and red tiled roofs, and lovely and warm and
yes.
and very pleasant. They're not twee, but they're just very beautiful. And especially in the springtime with the wisteria growing up the walls and whatever. But that, and so they're very pleasant. But we came in along the main road from King's Lynn, and one of the first large buildings we saw was the Dun Cow. Well, of course, the Dun Cow disappeared, and now it's burgeoned. So I think the Dun Cow might have been a landmark for many people coming to the village. And it was quite a thing to see that. It wasn't a very beautiful building, but it was one of the first things that would probably impress people as they came in,
yes.
because of its of the position on the main road.
Would you say that the Budgeons is an advantage to the parish?
Well, the strange thing about one of the strange things about Dersenham is that it doesn't really have a centre, in the sense that of a place where people congregate and do their shopping or spend time together.
Because it's sprawled,
isn't that's
it?
Right. The shops are all in various parts of the village, and I think that does affect the feel of the village. That if a place has a focal point, and I often think the area where the baker's shop is and the chemist, that could have been a focal point, but it's not big enough, and it doesn't have a feel where people can stand around
no.
because of it simply is a parking area for one or two shops.
Then you've got the corner of the chip shop.
That's
you
right.
The station
that's
road
right.
corner.
That's
that,
right.
With the playing field, could have been a home.
That's right. And then, of course, there are shops along Manor Road. But again, it's a long way between the end of Manor Road, along the main road, and up to the other end of the village, say Thaxter's.
Yes.
And so we don't really have a focal point. Some villages have a pond and maybe some shops around it.
And a green.
And a green, or maybe a cluster of shops. And that provides a focal point. We don't really have a place where people can relax or simply be together as a focal point and where people can spend time together. It's rather different than that somehow.
Yes, we also have a lot of different halls. There's no set village hall.
No, that's right.
Do you think
this
has an effect?
Well, maybe. And the church hall is on the edge of the village now because the housing has all developed in another part of the village.
Yes, it's almost like a ribbon development.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
And the community centre is away from the centre of the village. So it isn't as though we have activity places at the heart of the village.
Yes. The fact that the village is growing all the time, is that an advantage to you as a vicar, do you think?
Well, yes, the church I came from, people referred to the place we lived as a village, but it had grown to 25,000. It had very much a village feel to it because the way the place had been developed, there's lots of space between the houses, lots of trees. It was very open and so it gave very much a village feel rather than a town feel to it. But no, I would say I don't really mind the village growing, although it may be a little unfair in that there's definitely no development in the smaller villages. They're being preserved. Maybe they should, but as communities, those communities may never grow. And so they're not going to attract young people or young families or children or teenagers, because all the time they have to move elsewhere. You know, you get a place like Anmer, there isn't a single shop or a post office open 2 hours in the week.
That's right.
And so it is, for anyone of advancing years, you are cut off from doctors and the facilities that people need.
So really, we're lucky here in that we have got a library.
That's right.
Our special surgery. Would you say it is quite a good village for young people?
I would think so. We're within easy reach of King's Lynn. It's just a few minutes down the road. We now have a good rail service. And then there's all the space you want, isn't there? For
yes.
recreation.
Yes, that's
right. So lots of benefits.
What would you like to see happen in the village in the future?
I'm not too sure that I'd want to see development to the point, and being negative here, to the point that it destroys the feeling of the place being a village. Although one of the things I think would be a big advantage would be to have a focal point. And I've no idea how you create that in a place that simply develops over the years.
Yes.
But and maybe that opportunity has gone. And so I'm not too sure how one might create it now, but if there were an opportunity to have a place where you could have sort of the pleasant little individual boutique shops or old world type places, and the homemade bakery places, the places people will come to just to spend an odd hour.
Yes.
I think that would bring a bit of life to the place and would create a good atmosphere. And I think somehow that the community thing is lacking simply over the issue of the lack of a focal point.
Yes.
Although lots of things do take place in the village, there are lots of clubs, lots of activities. But if they happen in a hole on the edge of the village, then people do have to move from where they lived, as it were, to the hole in order to take advantage of that.
One of the recommendations that was suggested was this idea of having a big hall somewhere in the village that would
yes.
be a focal point.
Yes.
But of course, I think it has had to be, we've had to change our mind about it because of the costs involved.
That's right. Society changes. You see, the days of the village hall of 30, 40, 50 years ago, when you had your village dance, it provided a focal point for community. The people find their entertainment now in a different way. Young children spend time with a computer, and so they can do that as an individual. People spend time watching television, they can do that on their own.
Yes.
So entertainment and pastimes has changed considerably over the last years. And I would think a village hall is trying to probably recapture something that has actually passed us by. Although, if we want to create good community feeling within the village, then there must be some way of doing it. But I'm not too sure a new hall is the answer. I think it goes beyond simply
yes.
the erecting of a hall.
Now, interestingly enough, one of the things that has really brought a lot of the villagers together is something which has been done to help the church, and that is the line dancing classes
That's
that
right.
have started.
That's right.
I've been to them twice, and the hall has been packed, and I understand it's full every week.
That's right.
That the lady who runs it is doing it on a purely voluntary basis.
That's right.
That the profit is going for the church.
That's right.
And it is such fun. Now, I know you haven't actually been yourself.
No.
I don't think so.
No, I haven't.
But what do you think about that? Because
well,
it's so again, surprising.
It is surprising. The interesting thing, again, is... And it's probably things like river dance that has created quite a bit of interest in reviving tap dancing and
yes.
this type of dancing, the precision, and everyone loves to see that, see the music. But the interesting thing is probably that, again, as I've said about trends, young people are able to get their entertainment on their own, relating to this computer, working computer. Line dancing, people can do that on their own, but they're doing it together.
Yes.
So it isn't as though you need a partner, it isn't competitive. So, and it's everyone is keen on exercise these days, and so
yes.
it's a way of people having exercise, it's recreation, which again, you wouldn't want to do that kind of thing on your own. It's group activity,
yes.
but without it being competitive or without the need of a partner.
And also, having been there myself, it's very entertaining.
Yes.
Because we make silly mistakes.
That's right.
We turn and face the
That's
wrong
right.
way and
That's
so
right.
on. And it brings in a lot of good, happy community spirit.
Yes. That's right.
And it's surprising for something that's just happened recently
yeah.
to have
I
done
think,
so well.
I think that shows, doesn't it, that there are trends, there are things which become popular. I'm quite happy for the village hall to be of use to the community and for this kind of thing to happen.
Yes. Another thing I noticed was that the age range was quite wide. There's
That's
a
right.
lot of young mums.
That's right.
Who, for the reasons you said, come. They have to go off and meet children. And then we go right through to quite elderly people
That's
and
right.
a few elderly gentlemen.
Yes.
And I think if the children weren't at school, they'd probably come along as well.
That's right.
So it seems to break the age barriers.
That's right. And not a, some activities today don't do that,
no.
Whereas this, the line dancing has broken that barrier.
Yes, yes.
And I think, again, for community things, it, sometimes it happens by accident almost, as this has done. But it just keys into where people are and their needs, and they respond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, leading on from that, of course, that we all paid £2 to go, and it's been a real boost to church funds.
Mm.
Now, if you visualise this going on for any length of time, are there any targets that you think would help both the church and the village for this money to be spent on?
Well, it may be, and as far as the village, I'm not too sure where the target might go within the village, where the money might go there, but at the moment that is coming to the church. This year, we pay to the diocese something like almost 25,000 for ministry that is within the diocese. So it isn't directly to me for pay, but it's a contribution to the diocese for stipends within this area. And then we're having to spend 20,000 on repairs. Now that is, we have a quinquennial inspection, that is a 5-yearly inspection which we need by law. And we were told this year that we needed very little by way of repairs, but the estimates have come in and it's 21,000. Now you take that, we're there at what, £45,000, 46,000, with our other expenses, heating, lighting, insurance, the ordinary running of the church, that comes to something like 50,000 this year, which is £1,000 a week.
Yes.
At the moment, our income over expenditure is losing out by £400 a week. So you see, even if the line dancing brought us in £100 a week,
yes,
we're a long way short of our target just to do the repairs we
yes
need to do.
And it's interesting that the vast majority of people in the village have absolutely no idea of the costs running a church.
Probably not. I mean, if we had to say to people that at the moment it's costing £1,000 a week, they probably wouldn't believe us.
No.
I look back to old magazines of not much more than 20 years ago, the vicar writing there that we shall need this coming year, if prices continue to rise, £24 a week to keep the ministry of the church going. Now, it's incredible.
Yes.
But there's no way in which we can step out of that situation. Where this is where we are, and these are our needs.
And it must be very worrying for you.
It is. It does mean, of course, that we do try as a priority to pay our parish share to the diocese. Beyond that, we need to pay the normal bills that come in. We need heating, we need lighting, we need insurance.
The parishioners don't like it in the winter if the church is
no
cold.
No, that's right. And so what we do have to do is say, well, we'll go ahead with the repairs and do them as we can, as the money comes in.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's as simple as that, really.
Now, one of the questions that we ask is, will you retire in Dursingham? Now, I would imagine this probably won't apply to you.
Well, no, I would. I don't think the people would thank me for staying here for the rest of my ministry. I've been here just over 6 years now. And so I think they really wouldn't thank me for staying another 13 until I retire. So I would think they'll be retiring elsewhere.
Now, on the other hand, we hope you'll still be here for the millennium.
Well, I may. I really don't know.
No, because what does the millennium mean to you?
I think the millennium is going to be a tremendous event. And commercially, and in the world of retail, I think there'll be such financial gains to be made that lots of people will be jumping onto the bandwagon with celebrations. I think I feel rather sad if the whole thing is taken over simply on a purely commercial basis. What I would hope for within the church is that we consider the fact that in our history, the gospel has been brought to us by missionaries that we date our years from the birth of Christ, and that we've had the blessing over these many years of the influence of that gospel upon our nation, upon the making of our laws, that Christian people have been at work in our history because of their concern for people. Christian people have been behind the education system of our land, behind the hospitals of our nation, and medical care. And I think that the year 2000 is significant. It's a time when we can look back upon our history and give thanks to God for all that has been good about our nation.
And all the progress that's
been made. All the progress that's been made. It's a time when, as a church, we can say, let's make this thing a Christian festival in order that we might give thanks to God for the gospel that we've enjoyed. And I would think we need to probably celebrate it in a number of ways. One way would be to say, get the church to raise money to support a missionary overseas, even if it be for a limited time, or to support an aid worker overseas, so that as the gospel has come to us, and we've benefited from that, so we might, as it were, as a thanksgiving to God, maybe a young person from the village, if there's Laura Pullane in Rwanda just now, helping with the refugees. I've no idea where she'll be in 3 years' time, but maybe there's someone else like her in need of support for a work that they're doing, a vital work and a good work in a missionary situation. And it may be so far as the church goes, I'd love to see a dais in church and a new focal point in church. I'd love to see facilities for the disabled, for toilet facilities and what we might call kitchen facilities, although it really is just some place where we can make tea and coffee and really tidy up our entrance to the church to make it welcoming and provide rooms for as vestries. We really know vestries and no indoor toilet. So there are lots of things we need. It may be that a fund for the millennium would provide some of these things, which I think are essential.
Yes.
We're almost 100 years out of date with that. With our facilities in church, and we're thinking about them now for the year 2000.
Now, I did ask you before if you had photographs or newspaper cuttings, and we will be able to get hold of those at a later date.
Yes.
Through some of the other churches.
That's right.
A question now. What would you like to say to someone in Dursingham in 100 years' time?
Well, as a minister of the gospel, I think if I had one thing to say, it would probably be to remind people of the love of God. I probably want to turn them to John's gospel and to the third chapter, verse 16. Probably the best known verse in John's gospel, or even the best known verse in the Bible, where it simply says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because the whole of the gospel message is brought to a focal point in that little verse. And it may be that in 100 years' time somebody is sitting there thinking, well, no one has told me all week that they love me, and probably nobody's told me for a year that they love me. I want to say, look, God loves you.
Yes.
God loves you.
Yes.
He wants you to respond to his love, to enjoy that love. And He loves you so much that he wants you to spend eternity in his presence.
Yes.
That's great love.
Yes.
And I think if there were any message to give to people then, that would be the message.
Now, the final question is this. Do you know of anyone else who has interesting stories to tell about Dursingham?
I would think, because the Stantons have a long history in the village, that it may be wise to have a chat to the Stanton family.
Yes. Yes. Right. Well, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Extremely helpful. Thank you very much.